across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning and welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin news brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Breitlow here in Chippewa Falls at 7:06 on this Thursday morning, July 11th. It's nice to have you here this week. We have our Women Win Wisconsin segment, as we do every week, every Thursday at 7:30. And Nicole Slavin and Kate Duffy of Motherhood for Good will be joined by State Representative Francesca Hong, one of our favorite fearless leaders and progressives in the Wisconsin legislature and in Wisconsin progressive ranks overall. But let's take care of some very important business first for the early risers of the 6 a.m. hour. We gave them a special opportunity to win Milwaukee Brewers tickets to this Saturday afternoon's game. And I fill my coffee cup and I sit back down at my desk. And before I go to Brittany Merlot for the forecast, I see a note from Greg that says, tickets are given away. Congratulations to Judy and Steve.
Woo!
Judy and Steve. Did they account for all six?
Judy took four, Steve took two, and what was funny is that Steve, who is a very big fan of the show, says we're doing great work, so good job, Pat Breitlow.
Wow.
Well, his daughter, Teresa, I apologize if I'm getting that, Teresa was calling at the same time to get the ticket, so there might be some beef in the family now. Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, that was nice to them. And then look, Rob from Tigerton leads off with, you all are the best morning personalities on radio and social media.
Oh,
Rob.
Stop it.
Along with his regular good morning from Tigerton, where he says it's partly cloudy and 62, busy with my lawn mowing jobs. I do 13 yards. This year, with all the rain, it has been a nonstop job. With the hot and humid weather coming, things will be growing. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here to say, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Aren't you, Brittany?
Oh, yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and we're going to want to plan our grass cutting, too, early in the morning or late at night, because that humidity is going to be disgusting as we go through this weekend. Mm-hmm. It is really, really surging in. So today, not too bad. Still pretty comfortable. We've got some summery temperatures climbing into those low to mid 80s today. Actually, the further west and north you live, the more sunshine you'll have and the warmer you're going to get. Some clouds are still hanging on down along the border towards the south. We are looking at patchy fog still up north this morning and towards the Rhinelander area and Ashland as well. But that will all clear. We'll have a beautiful, bright day today. And really, everyone should stay mainly dry. I think only a few spotty showers will pop up, mainly south, and the chances are actually still through this morning and afternoon. So really, I think today and tomorrow, mostly dry. The humidity pushes in for the weekend, and so does the heat. We're still looking at temperatures flirting with 90s by Sunday and into Monday. That humidity, I hate it. That's why my hair is curly. I'm not even trying to straighten it anymore because I know what's headed our way.
Very smart on your part.
I get that.
We could definitely see it at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair yesterday, where of course it was already in the upper 80s, you know, maybe touching 90. But then you put all these people on what I call a great big asphalt frying pan. Everybody walking along, and I mean, you could just see some people were just beat down by the heat and humidity and taking breaks, and you know, they'd get off the rides and you couldn't tell if they were woozy from the rides or from the heat and the humidity, you know.
Seriously.
We're having such a good time. Harold won a bear. It's so hot.
Things were a little lethargic at times there. So it's a good reminder to, you know, to push those fluids. I had it's out of reach here, but I got the big mug of strawberry lemonade, you know, that you can get the refills on. Because here I've got my 5-day armband. I've got that for the fair. It says right here for the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, it says NWSF on it, which I always take to mean, you know, not safe for work, but it's the other another acronym. This armband is not permission to swear, damn it. So we will not do that.
Hey.
So yeah. Brittany, will you be hitting any county fairs or things in your area, in the greater Wausau area? Don't you have Valley Fair at some point during the summer?
Yeah, that's coming up. We've got Taste and Glow this weekend, but I've already been to that. So I'm actually going to head your way. I'm going to your fair this weekend, actually.
Are you?
So I'm going to check that out for the first time. I'm excited. What can I expect? What's your favorite part?
The people watching, of course. There's a couple of really nice beer tents with stages. One will usually have like a rock band or cover band, and the other will have like some kind of a country band. And it's just, you know, lots of picnic tables, and it's great to get some shade, you know. But then again, all the different kinds of foods. Aaron yesterday brought for me and Todd, he brought in those cheese curd tacos. There's a layer of cheese curds, and then they put like one of them has like a layer of bacon over that, and then they put it in a flour tortilla and they deep fry that whole sucker, and then they pull it out and then they put on some lettuce and some ranch, and that was a taco right
there. I'm speechless. I have the chills. I'm starving. I can't wait.
The other one at the bottom has, along with the cheese curds, they slice up bratwurst. So it's bratwurst and cheese curds and then some other fixins on top of that.
Welcome to the fair. You're going to get the diabetes.
Yeah, right.
The sugar diabetes. Tony writes in from Ashland, cheese curd taco is something I didn't know I couldn't live without until yesterday. Yeah.
That'll be me on Monday.
Yep. Exactly. Alicia writes in on Facebook, I'm looking forward to the Brown and Manitowoc County fairs. Those are all coming up. And then Brittany as well, I was looking on the Civic Media site, and this is away from the fairs and the weather and everything, but I see you've got a news story on there about drumming grouse are increasing across Wisconsin as part of the Rough Grouse Drumming Survey. And the thing is, I haven't heard about that for some time now, and I remember that those numbers were not looking good for a time, either because of climate or weather or other things like that. So this sounds like more of a good news story this year.
Yes, it is very good news. The spike was huge too, anywhere from 40 to 60% in certain areas across Wisconsin. So good news from that survey, not to mention the spike, the 10-year spike is coming up just around the corner too. So that population is growing. And we're excited about it. So good news. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we forget for all the times we have Brittany here for the weather, but she's doing a lot of coverage on other stories around central Wisconsin. And you can look for all that at civicmedia.us. Thank you, Brittany, very much.
Thank you.
All right. We'll look forward to the full weekend forecast tomorrow. By the way, sounding much better. And I'm glad the summer allergies hopefully are letting up at this point. So as mentioned, our Women Win Wisconsin segment will be coming up with Representative Francesca Hong. Before that, one of the stories that you'll find over at the Up North News website, which is upnorthnewswi.com, we've got a story there about the ongoing efforts by the Biden administration to make things more affordable for Americans. For example, taking on, you know, the junk fees and the other ways that corporate greed or, you know, adding on extra prices to things that aren't necessary, all the little things that an administration can do that can add up to big savings over time, if somebody would just take the time to look out for the little guy, which is what the Biden administration had been doing. And that also included a decision by the Federal Trade Commission to put a near ban on non-compete clauses, which frankly had gotten out of hand. It's one thing to have a non-compete clause because you might have some really inner trade secret that you shouldn't share with your competitors. It's another thing to use a non-compete clause simply as a way to keep somebody from leaving for a better job, for a better opportunity someplace that may be in the same field, but again, lacking any trade secrets, the non-compete clause is being abused, to put it in quite directly. So the Federal Trade Commission has been working to clamp down the abuse of non-compete clauses. Unfortunately, now a federal judge in Texas appointed by Donald Trump has recently issued a preliminary order against the FTC. And so that order was brought by a company called Ryan LLC. The company is owned by a Republican mega donor and tax advisor to former President Trump. The move to ban non-competes by the FTC was cheered on by the country's largest labor federation, the American Federation of Labor, said non-compete agreements trap workers from finding better jobs. They drive down wages. They stifle competition. An estimated 30 million American workers are currently affected by non-compete clauses. That's nearly one-fifth of the U.S. labor force. The rule agreed upon earlier this year would ban new non-compete agreements for the vast majority of American workers and require employers to let current and past employees know that they won't be enforced going forward. Companies would be required to throw out existing non-compete agreements for most of their employees. That, of course, was until this federal judge in Texas appointed by Trump came along. The case brought by Ryan LLC argued that the FTC overstepped its legal authority, the judge saying the FTC lacks the authority to institute such a rule. And if that sounds familiar, it's because it is part of an ongoing assault by everything from the U.S. Supreme Court to other Trump-appointed judges on what was called the Chevron Doctrine, which for decades had led judges to defer to federal agencies when interpreting a law, rather than trying to make the judges the experts on every micro matter that may come before them. But as part of the conservative assault on regulatory protections, you're going to continue seeing courts that are trying to undo the things that the Biden administration has been doing to look after regular workers and basically working class, middle class Americans. We'll follow that case as it continues to go forward. There was a role reversal in last night's Brewers game. This time it was the Brewers that were hitting all the home runs. Tobias Myers pitched 8 scoreless innings for the Brewers. Reese Hoskins and Willy Adames hit homers, and Milwaukee crushed Pittsburgh last night 9-0. Next up, Pittsburgh pitching phenom Paul Skeens, the first rookie pitcher to represent the Pirates in the All-Star game, will take on the Brewers' recently acquired pitcher Aaron Civale in a 1-10 game this afternoon. The Pirates will then leave town, and the Brewers will welcome in the Washington Nationals for a weekend series before next week's All-Star break. Pregame today at 12:35 on stations belonging to Civic Media in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls. We'll unpack more of the news for this Thursday morning. Coming up next year, live from Lake Wissota, across the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlow, and you're up north. And Suzanne Vega turns 65 years old today. You get our history lesson every day at about 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. Yes, I just saw the note Greg sent me. I now have to give credit to the person who has been texting us occasionally, and it now is official that we're being played by this person who's been texting, because every so often when we would mention the Brewers score or a Brewers highlight and they'd say, the sports talk, it just goes on and on. And we'd think, well, geez, maybe we did talk a little too long about that game, which maybe meant 90 seconds instead of, 30 or something like that. And you heard just before the break the relatively short update that I gave, 45 seconds, on the Brewers game and who they're playing today. And here on the text line just now, good morning. I'm deleting my Civic Media app from your phone. I simply cannot tolerate all the sports talk. Sure, you got us. You played us. We are an all sports talk station and we will miss you. I love it. I love, like, let's see how much we can get in their heads about sports talk. It's a Brewers update from yesterday. Stop it. I like it. I love passive aggressive behavior as much as anybody else.
So I think this is pretty aggressive aggressive behavior, if you ask me.
I salute it. I for one, oh, am here for that.
Oh, pure Midwest.
Mwah. Yep. Mwah. Yep. All right. So getting back on track here, the Wisconsin election is November 5th, of course, but there's also a primary on August 13th. But there's so much more at stake now than just a primary election in some districts. There are two statewide constitutional amendment referendums on the ballot. And if they pass, the Constitution will be amended in a way that will further restrict federal aid that could come to Wisconsin, that rather than having a governor that would disperse the aid as it is designed to be used, the Republican-led legislature could do with federal aid what they're currently doing with state dollars in many instances, and that includes sitting on $125 million that should be going to work right now to clean up water contaminated with industrial chemicals. Money that could be used for reading and literacy programs, money that could be used to help with a healthcare crisis in the Chippewa Valley, and more. And Republicans now want to find ways to stymie federal aid that would come into Wisconsin in the future. And because any bill doing so would be vetoed by Governor Evers, they've decided to try to amend the Wisconsin Constitution and run that proposed amendment during what would normally be a sparsely attended August primary. And so we just want to get the word out about that, that if you would like to vote on that constitutional amendment one way or the other, the election is August 13th. And if you need information on the primary, on the constitutional amendments, what's on your ballot, where to vote, are you registered to vote, just go to this one site run by the Wisconsin Elections Commission, myvote.wi.gov. Again, myvote.wi.gov. And get all of the information you need about the August election. And by the way, you can also sign up to have an absentee ballot sent to you so you don't have to go vote on August 13th. Get the absentee ballot sent your way, get it filled out, send it back in, and your vote will count. Next week, of course, is the Republican National Convention, and Civic Media will have special coverage every evening next week during the convention during the 7 p.m. hour. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell will be live on location throughout the convention to give news updates and complete coverage. And then Todd Alba's show will be live from the RNC from noon to 2 next week, but also tomorrow as well. He's in River Falls today with the show after being at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair here in Chippewa Falls yesterday. And then tomorrow, he's down in Milwaukee getting set to preview the convention and give us a little taste of what the environment is like down there. We'll have a few special guests here on Up North News Radio as well related to the convention. As I asked Joe Zepecki last hour, you know, do we think that we will see unbridled and unapologetic extremism now from that convention, which is so thoroughly in the hands of the, you know, the MAGA Trump movement? Or will we see something more made for TV, made for primetime, mass consumption, and an effort to provide or at least offer up a more moderate face to the Republican Party? In other words, which Republican Party will we see? The one that is attempting mass appeal, or the one that is true to its current set of values? And based on, you know, the speaker's list and things like that, I think we should be expecting more of the extreme side, especially now when so many folks are focused much more on President Biden and whether after, you know, 3.5 years in office, folks have suddenly decided that they've discovered he's an elderly man who sometimes will behave like an elderly man and other times will give you the face of somebody with decades of experience, relationships across the world, the ability to steward an economy and send it to heights not seen anywhere else in the developed world following the recession that came from the pandemic. There are so many things that it would be nice to have our press corps talking about with as much passion as they seem to enjoy piling on the president for having a poor debate performance. We have a president whose own vice president, Mike Pence, is not endorsing him, is not on the ticket with him. That whole thing about being okay with a mob trying to kill him might come into play. Maybe it's the 40 cabinet officers who served under Donald Trump, who Donald Trump hired directly, who are saying they don't endorse him any longer. There could also be, you know, all of the felony convictions, all of the criminal indictments and the other trials that are coming up, all of which deserve to be talked about. There's also the U.S. Supreme Court with three justices appointed by Trump, which is now overtly corrupt in the way that it has allowed its members to be bribed and in the way that it has shown that some of those justices flat out lied to Congress when it came to Roe v. Wade being settled law. Then there's the whole Project 2025 document that you're going to continue hearing more about between now and November, no matter who's running on either side of the ticket. Because this is the manifesto of the far right and the things that they will do if they win elections. And not just win elections out of support. If they win elections because enough people stay home, as happened in 2016, this is still something, this is still an agenda that will be pushed that is damning on so many levels to the economy, to democracy, to the future. And of course, we still have an ongoing war in Europe that always threatens to expand and would expand if the Biden-led global partnership were to collapse. So for these reasons and more, while there will be a lot of talk at next week's convention about Joe Biden the man and Joe Biden's health, we really should be thinking about the long-term health of the country, if anything other than a Joe Biden-led or supported ticket were to win in November. Now back with our Women Win Wisconsin segment with Representative Francesca Hong next here up north. Yes, I think you've seen. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we'll run the world. Girls, girls, we'll run the world. Girls, girls, we'll run the time for our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good. We'll talk to Representative Francesca Hong in just a moment. But first, as always, Nicole Slavin and Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good. How you doing?
Good.
All right. Very good. I didn't get a chance to ask you beforehand, any new events, new videos, new initiatives from Motherhood for Good that we should know? Otherwise, I know folks can find you on Instagram at Motherhood for Good.
No, I mean, we're just kind of working, just been swirling the last couple of weeks like everybody else, trying to figure things out and getting back to local stuff so we can make some movement there and at least, you know, feel purposeful. We are going to be at the Crooked shows coming up in Madison next weekend. So we're excited to hopefully see some people out there. But yeah, just doing summer stuff.
That's going to be, I mean, not that your life was easy by any stretch of the imagination. Next weekend's going to be a bit more of a challenge with the Crooked Media folks and their takes on the current state of the presidential campaign. You know, some of their fans aren't the same fans that they were before a couple of weeks back. And here's the thing I like about that. This is the Democratic Party is not robotic. It is not everybody get in line, adhere to the party line. Here's what you got to do or else, you know, but it is going to lead to some conversations next weekend. So, you know, have fun.
Because yeah, we're. You know, stay tuned to our Instagram. We'll like have the have the scoop.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously much more to say about that in the coming weeks. Fran Hong, state representative from Madison. How are you?
I am doing okay. How's everyone doing?
How did you put it, Nicole? We're just like, we're doing, you know. You know, yeah. November will be here before we know it. And so there's work to do. And I like that we do this segment as a chance to kind of reset things from a Wisconsin politics standpoint. I am going to want to get into a little bit of national politics with you about current events. But again, as a sitting legislator and with new maps and with so much at stake from a state standpoint, you know, we really have to start with that first and foremost. You know where I come from on this as somebody who was a legislator in a swing district, that I always appreciated the legislators in quote unquote safe districts who didn't just stay home, who got out there and helped people in those more competitive districts. And trust me, folks listening out there, there's been one or two, shall we say, people in safe seats who never left home, who never lifted a finger to help anybody. That is not Fran. What you been up to?
I am so excited about this cycle. I think the focus on down ballot candidates is really important, and folks are going to recognize that the majority of Wisconsinites are going to be voting bottom up. And so with us having 97 of the 99 seats where we have Democratic candidates, I think this is the space where we are empowering people, and we've got inspiring candidates all across the state. It's a really exciting time, and I'm absolutely stoked that I get to go and support candidates all around the state.
But before we can get to that in November, we've got that election in August, which, again, was going to be busy in some places, like the 3rd Congressional District, with a competitive primary there. But now, from a statewide standpoint, with these proposed constitutional amendments, there's going to be so much more emphasis on people voting either on August 13th or by absentee. I'd like to hear in your words what exactly Republicans in the legislature are proposing to do with the state constitution and the impact it would have if these amendments were to pass.
They're continuing their absurd power grabs. I think that Robin Voss and the Republicans have really shown even more who they are this last session. And so these constitutional amendments is another way where they want to have more power in the legislature, which is incredibly problematic because they've shown time and time again that they have no interest in meeting the needs of our communities across the state. And so I encourage everyone to vote no on both of those amendments so that we aren't in danger of having them take federal funds and try to wrap them up in the legislature. So there would be a possibility where, just like what's going on in the Joint Committee on Finance, where they're, you know, withholding funds, almost $125 million to help clean up PFAS all across the state. And so it's really important that folks recognize that even though the wording may be kind of vague or confusing, that we need to vote no to ensure that when the state does get federal funds, that we are deploying them as fast as possible to make sure that the communities that need them are receiving those funds to help those in local districts.
And just to follow up to that, for any folks who may not be as clear on how all this works, myself included, those federal funds, if we're not accepting those, or if the legislature has full control and they don't deploy them, I mean, that's like use it or lose it. And these are Wisconsinites' money that they pay into taxes that we want coming back to us in critical programs, right?
Absolutely. So it's important to remember that we are constituents of those at the national level, and we should absolutely have a say in where our tax dollars go. So when we receive federal funds and the legislature holds on to them, this happened a couple years ago during the COVID pandemic, where we lost federal funds that would have gone to folks who are a part of the food share programs. And so this, again, is their, you know, they've been consistent in power grabs and really hurting and harming communities across the state.
Yeah. And just to wrap up that note real quick, I know Robin Voss has said we, quote unquote, give away too much free stuff. So that's just something to think about when you're talking to your friends about voting no on these constitutional amendments.
Absolutely.
Put a bow on that. And I'll hand it over to you, Nicole.
Well, and I think this just goes to show how important the August primary is for many reasons, particularly those constitutional amendments. But kind of going back to what Pat was talking about earlier and how you're so active in all of these different assembly races across the state. Me personally, I'll tell you, your Instagram is just such a joy. Like, I am learning about so many candidates every day. And it's not just the, hey, check out this person. You're interacting with them. You're at their events. And that's what draws people in. So my question is, how can we help? So if you're in a district, you're someone who's just like not that politically savvy and never really did much, but you're like, it's time I did something. What's the best way someone can get involved to help a local candidate?
I think check out their social media. Write them a DM, see where they are on TikTok. I know Emily over in the 57th does an amazing job of talking about what it's like for legislative candidates who are the folks who are meeting communities where they are, right? They're hitting the doors. They're having those really important conversations about making government accessible. So I encourage folks, if you don't know the contact the best point of contact, like a campaign manager or something, go check out candidates' social media, go check out their email. There's almost always of their websites to see where their email is. And if you can make a donation, that's always one of the most, the best ways to support candidates, but they also need volunteers. And these conversations you have at the door, there are, you know, there can be some hesitancy around it, but I know for a fact that people are willing to have conversations, that they want to make connection. And I think that's really important to keep in mind when it comes to local candidates.
You know, when we get into some of the big issues out there, we sometimes forget some that don't get as much attention as we get closer to Election Day. And I'm glad that you're still out there banging the drum on something like healthy school meals for all. Because again, it's not the big glamorous issue that, you know, or it just doesn't get a lot of attention. And yet we've talked about this multiple times with you as a guest, that this is still so key to Wisconsin families.
I think it's really important to talk about economic issues around issues that people can relate to, right? We want to make sure that we acknowledge that there are rising costs, but there are ways to put money back in the pockets of working families. And so with Healthy School Meals for All, not only are you looking at improving the local economies for communities, whether it comes to procurement from local farms or making sure, again, when there are when we're putting money back in working families, it means that they're going to have more purchasing power. And then again, this is about feeding all kids. Like, we shouldn't be there shouldn't be a controversy around that. And so there are many different ways to speak about this issue. But ultimately, we want to make sure that we are seeing our children as all of our children. And especially when it comes to Wisconsin, we've got an opportunity too for these schools to save money and for us to, again, receive more funds from the federal government that will meet the funding that the schools need to make sure that we've got healthy school meals for all.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important. And I think that's one of those messaging things that Democrats sometimes on a national level struggle with a little bit, talking about economics in a way that can relate to people. You know, the stock market is one thing, but most people, that's not relatable. So I think that's such a good point. And it's so, I mean, feeding kids who are hungry is something we should all be able to get behind. And moving on to another economic topic that touches a lot of families and especially a lot of people in our community is paid medical and paid family leave. So talk to us a little bit about that and kind of your hopes for how we can make some strides there in the state legislature.
I think it's important to recognize that this has bipartisan support. Again, it's an economic issue that impacts working families. And it's important to note that people want to work in Wisconsin. They want to make sure that they have agency over how they work and where they go to work. And when you have a statewide comprehensive paid family and medical leave program, people are able to know that they have a little bit more freedom when it comes to going to work, because they don't have to worry about choosing between going to work and taking care of a loved one or themselves. And we've got more folks in the caregiving space where, you know, people in that sandwich generation where they need and they're choosing between childcare or taking care of a loved one, paid family leave is going to be that that temporary reprieve. And again, this is an economic issue. We know that it's important to note that Wisconsinites want to work. Working families are working. And when they have policies like paid family medical leave at their disposal, it gives them more freedom to make sure that they're able to go to work and, again, have more choices and not having to have to make really tough decisions between work and taking care of a loved one.
Let's talk about voter outreach, especially to all the many groups of voters that are out there. And for Vice President Kamala Harris, that includes a new concerted effort by the Biden-Harris administration and campaign to reach out to Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander populations. And that is something, you know, no less important in Wisconsin than it is anyplace else. Right, Fran?
Absolutely. I think Asian Americans are the margin of victory here in our state. And when the vice president launched this initiative to make sure that nationwide and states have resources to ensure that community leaders who are trusted messengers in Asian American communities are able to do that voter outreach, it's incredibly important to recognize that we need to empower community leaders. Again, it may be nonprofit directors, it may be folks who are involved in schools. We need to make sure, especially with back in 2020, President Biden won by less than 1% of a margin here in Wisconsin. And so those 20 some thousand votes, you know that there was a good number of communities of color, especially Asian Americans, who made a difference and were the margin of victory when it comes to elections.
Perfectly said for what is a unique time in this particular presidential campaign. You know, very quickly, Fran, in terms of, you know, the vice president doing this outreach and her profile being raised more. What is your own outlook for the next, you know, couple few weeks here of the Biden-Harris campaign and the profile that the vice president is taking?
I think it's really important to not mention the top of the ticket as much and make sure that we're having these local, these conversations between local candidates and working families. And there's a number of folks who recognize that the politicians who are local are closest to the issues and closest to your door. And so it gives people agency and freedom to recognize that government is accessible and government should be accessible and government should be a force of good.
It's about the team. The whole team, everybody that serves on the team, and its friends, like Motherhood for Good. Nicole Slavin, Kate Duffy, Francesca Hong, thank you all so much. Always great to talk to all of you. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you.
All right. Luke Mathers will join us next here on Up North News Radio for this Thursday morning. Back after this. Boy, oh boy, did I mess up when Luke Mathers sent a note saying, "Hey, you got Brewers tickets to give away?" And I thought, "Yeah, I'll do it on Thursday." Luke shows up on Thursday at 7:50. You know, we build an audience throughout the 2 hours. You know, people who aren't awake at 6 o'clock. And then I got this idea at about 6:06, like, why don't we reward the early birds, you know? And so we gave away the Brewers tickets right out of the get-go. And here's Luke. He's got his Brewers cap on. He's all set to go. And I got nothing for you, buddy. I got nothing on this break. We've already made some listeners happy with the tickets.
I was going to say, that's not true. We got some very happy listeners out there already set. I just finished sending them their tickets, so they should be in their inbox.
That's right. You are the one who sends them. You bring joy.
I'm one of the few people that sends.
You're the stork that delivers the Brewers tickets.
Yes. And boy, is my backyard messy.
Oh, my God.
Oh. We've certainly been talking about what Civic Media is going to be doing next week, covering the Republican National Convention. And that's where I just want to take a moment to tip my cap to everybody who's got to plan these things behind the scenes, not just, you know, the guests and what shows are going to be where, but from a technical standpoint, getting everything set up for broadcasting from multiple locations. Your appearance here every week when we talk about Civic Media, mostly about the shows, I always like that it also serves as a reminder of the people that actually get these things on the air and how grateful we are for the work that you and the engineers and everybody else does.
Yeah, Me, I can't take full credit for that. The engineering team here across the Civic Media Network is phenomenal. Grade A, cannot say enough good things about them because they are the relentless warriors behind the scenes, making sure that all of the crazy things that we want to get done are getting done.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. So we were at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair on the Todd Alba Show yesterday afternoon, and we were mentioning the grandstand lineup, which is going to include Charlie Behrens on Saturday, making a return trip to Chippewa Falls, and hopefully that just gets that many more people to know about the Cripes cast and all the other, you know, things that we get to do here on Civic Media, not just on the weekdays.
Yeah, you can definitely tune in for those Cripes. If you're unable to make it to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, you can tune in across the Civic Media Network, noon on Saturdays and Sundays for the Cripes cast, because Charlie's a busy man, Pat. He's heading all over the place. The fact that you guys landed him up there for your state fair is pretty great. But you can tune in every single weekend to also hear Charlie on these airwaves.
Yes, without a doubt. We also, I think we mentioned it for the first time last week, if I'm not mistaken, that there are various newsletters, news digests, a civic media digest about programs and news. I'm all the time talking about our daily newsletter at Up North News, but there's a lot that people can learn via the email machine from Civic Media.
Yeah, if you want, you can head over to the website. You can sign up for the weekly digest. So our marketing team does an excellent job sending out a recap of the excellent episodes from across the network and let you know what's coming up soon. So it's a great little balance of what you might have missed across the very expansive network that we have here at Civic Media Now in the weeks past, but also a little taste of what's coming up, so you can be sure to tune in and set those reminders to not miss out on any excellent programming like we're going to have across the network next week with the RNC. Our news director Terry Bell will be anchoring a special program each night of the four nights of the RNC, Monday through Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. So you can tune in for that special coverage, hear everything that you need to know from going on, what's going on at the convention. And then we've got so much going on, Pat, that I get to head up to your neck of the woods next week. And I'm going to be in Chippewa Falls for the fourth and final third CD Democratic Forum that's taking place. But since we've got so much going out over the airwaves with the RNC next week, we're going to be there with the news team recording it and then sharing it as a special broadcast after the fact through podcast form. So
much stuff here.
So much stuff going on, Pat.
And then we had Civic Media's VP, Aaron Carreno, on Todd's show yesterday. And we don't talk enough about the music stations, obviously, because we love what we're doing here on the news, talk, and information side. But Civic Media is a very full-service company. And so while just here in the Chippewa Valley, for example, we're on at 93.5, you can also head up the dial to 105.7 to CFW and all the music stations there. And it was great to talk to Aaron about the growth of the music stations and, again, the wide expanse of music formats to choose from. So, I mean, if you've got that Civic Media app, there's hardly a flavor of radio you're not getting.
Yeah, and you can jump around too. So whether you can jump around from station to station. Yeah, back it up, back it in. Let me begin.
poor Greg. Greg, is Greg sleeping? His head is in his hands.
I can't tell. Yeah, it looked like he was dozing off there.
It just reminds me of a time back in the late '80s, early '90s when music was really in a jump-based economy. you had like Jump Around, Jump by Chris
Van
Cross,
Halen,
Jump by Van Halen. You had Pointer Sisters, Jump. I mean, it was just a lot about the exercising back in those days. But really, some would say a better time for music.
We would wear our leggings and we would get physical, and we would jump around.
Some would say you get animal too.
Someone, please, out there, I know that the YouTube feed found one of the first weathercasts of Pat or the news reports. Please find the video of Pat wearing his leg warmers and jumping around.
That I can promise does not exist.
Please find it.
But it's a mental image that scares me at this very moment.
The internet is undefeated, Pat. Be careful. It may have happened, and you don't know that it's out there.
I'm actually trying to think if I've ever worn anything goofy on air that could come back to haunt me. I mean, nothing more goofy than that first outfit I was wearing that day as a college freshman. Not knowing that was going to be my first TV appearance.
I couldn't tell you what you were wearing. I could just look at your hair.
Oh, yes. It was big. It was big.
It was fabulous.
How, Mr. Mathers, in closing, how do you explain your first place Milwaukee Brewers with all these pitching injuries, with all the ups and downs? How are they doing it in the opinion of sports analyst Luke Mathers?
Well, when you count somebody out and tell them it's going to be a rebuild just because, you know, some of the uncertainty that's going on, I think it's a good sign that past is prologue, but the future is unwritten. So you never know what these teams are going to do. And that goes for sports. That goes for politics. That goes for everything. You may think you've got a good idea of what's coming, but you don't until the time when it's happening. And the Brewers are making it happen right now.
You think you know, but you don't know is what he's trying to say.
And the Brewers are undaunted.
That's right.
Hey, okay. Christian Yelich, best batting average in the National League right now going into the All-Star. Oh, we got a couple more games, but going into the All-Star break, it's looking pretty good.
I know. We got to get to work on these nicknames, if it's going to be Murphy's Maulers or Murphy's Mashers or what. But
I just like Slam Fam Field. Like that.
Slam Fam Field.
Slam Fam Field.
Luke Mathers, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Pat.
Greg, we'll be back with Matt and Air on Air coming up at 10 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network. That's going to do it for us here on Up North News. Again, check us out on social media, Up North News WI. Thanks for being here. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you Friday morning here up north.